Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we would love to hear from you. Got a question, a life issue you'd like to discuss? Call right now, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One of the most powerful implications of the resurrection is freedom. When we're made alive together with Christ, we're released from that bondage that we were in to sin and death, and we were ushered into a new way of life, and that life is described by this word freedom. We are finally free. Now, that doesn't mean we're free to do anything. That's if we're going to continue to sin, we might as well just stay in the jail cell. Mm-hmm. But no, we're free to be what God has actually created us to be, and we're free to love Him from our hearts, and we're free to love others genuinely. That's the freedom that we have in Christ. And when we step in that direction, when we use this freedom to serve others in love, we're really flourishing as human beings. We're experiencing the real joy of being a human restored to bear the very image of God the Father. And that's an incredible, incredible sense of fulfillment and reward and mm-hmm. all of those sort of things. Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 5, for you were called to freedom. That's what this gospel message is all about. We were in bondage to sin and death. That was what we were under. We were enslaved to that. And that wasn't God's desire for us. It never was God's desire for us. So he sent Jesus to unlock that prison door and to set us free. And so now we're free. We're free as believers in Christ. That's what we've been called to. And he says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. We're free to do that, but that's just going right back into the jail cell. That's just going right back into bondage. But we're free to do that if we so desire. But here's the good news. God has changed our desires. God has changed what's real for us on the inside. And if you do choose to indulge the flesh, your new identity in Christ is going to say, hey, you don't fit there. You don't mm-hmm. belong there anymore. It's happened to me, and it's happened to every believer. You've come to that realization that you don't belong in this world. You don't fit. So you don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, you serve one another. And that's joy. And this new identity in Christ, this resurrection life, this rest that you have in his presence is the very thing that frees you to love others. You don't have to ask the question, well, what am I going to get out of this? You know, what benefit is going to come back to me in loving this person? You can just love them, period, end of story, no strings attached, and just have the joy of loving them. And that's the great reality of this resurrected life that we have in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, that's Basic Gospel, everybody. And thank you for joining us. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And, you know, Bob, we've heard Richard talk about what it's been worth to him to have God reach down and through a sequence of events, literally rescue him out of the religious system of bondage and legalism that he was mired in and bring him into the glorious light of liberty, freedom, and faith basically encompasses the grace of Jesus Christ. I know the same message has had a major impact in your life through the years. So what do you say to our listeners about the importance of the message that we send out every day on Basic Gospel? What's it been worth to you?
Well, it changed the whole trajectory of my life. You know, I was set on a course to go to medical school, and then I went through this just horrible time in college, just kind of floating through life, lost my moorings. I just didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And the gospel hit my heart, and I really learned that I had been made alive together with Jesus Christ. And I started telling that story to others. I started telling people about Jesus. And I saw a gentleman come to Christ in such a spectacular way. It just changed what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
God put a new desire. I wanted to be a part of God's great rescue mission. And that's what the gospel is. It is God's great rescue mission to rescue us from the bonds of sin and death and to set us free so that we can walk in the newness of life and to experience what it really means to be a human made in the likeness of God the Father.
Yeah.
So I said, Lord, I want to be a part of this rescue mission. You opened the door, and he opened the door, and I've been a part of this ministry for almost 40 years, and it's just been great to watch God do his work in people's lives as this gospel message has hit their hearts. And for you to invest, you have that same opportunity to watch God do in the life of people his great rescue mission in their lives. Yeah. So come be a part of this great rescue mission that God is doing today in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Your investment is going to reap eternal rewards and just give you the joy of knowing that you're truly making a difference. I mean, we can feed the hungry, we can dig wells, and all of those things are vitally important, but very few people are actually feeding the souls of hungry hearts. And we need to be involved in that, and that's what the gospel does, and that's what your investment will do. So come be a part of God's great rescue mission.
You can make your gift right now, friends, if you click donate at basicgospel.net. As Bob said, we want you to be a part of the blessing of taking this mission to other, this message to others, like Bob and Richard and me and so many of you. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had this call that came in overnight. I think this is a question that so many people have, and so let's talk about
it. Hi, this is Kobe from Salem, Morgan. Fixed that I'm calling about tithing. I'm a new Christian. Everybody's in debt. I'm struggling right now with money. But anyway, food stamps got cut off. Wages are being garnished. Do I have to pay the 10% tithing in order to go to heaven? As far as I understand, if you don't tithe, then it's stealing from God. It sounds pretty horrible to me. So I'm just having a hard time. I haven't started doing that, and I want to start doing that. I just need to know, do I have to start doing that today, or can I pay some of my debt? Kind of a stupid question, but I just want to know. Thank you much. God bless. Bye-bye.
Not a stupid question at all.
As a matter of fact, on our Basic Gospel YouTube channel, we've answered this question, and it's our most viewed video. Over 110,000 people have watched. Why? Because they want to know the answer to Kobe's question. Yeah. Is tithing necessary to be a Christian? Is it necessary to make it to heaven? And the answer is a resounding no. We're not saved by anything that we do. We're saved by the saving life of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's his death that took away our sins. It's his life that is given to us when we receive him. So we're saved by Jesus. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Tithing, going to church, praying, none of that is a part of that story. So we need to start right there. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Now, as a believer in this new covenant, there's no place in the new covenant, in the New Testament, that tells us to tithe, tells us to give 10% of our income. That was an old covenant practice. And Richard, you kind of were the lead on this video that we did. And you talked about a passage in Malachi 3:10 where it says, if you don't give, you're robbing God, basically. And as Kobe said, that's a horrible sounding word. I don't want to rob God. But we have to realize that that was directed to priests at a time under the old covenant, and they were required to do that to support the Levitical priesthood. But our priest is different.
Completely.
And because we have a new priest, we have a new way to give. It's called the grace of giving. So talk to us a little bit about what tithing was in the Old Testament and why that doesn't apply to us today.
Well, tithing in the Old Covenant was a beautiful thing because the Levites, who were the priests, didn't have the kind of promised land ownership that the other tribes did. And so the other tribes provided for them. The other tribes also provided for widows and orphans and for aliens, people who were traveling through the country but were destitute. And tithe was used for all these wonderful things. Okay. Well, when you get to Malachi, they have come back from the Babylonian captivity, and now the priests are defrauding the people by using completely ridiculous sacrifices, you know, broken legs and imperfect lambs and all this kind of stuff, and charging top dollar. And the people go, well, if they're going to do that for us, I'm not giving anything. And so we've set up this political tit-for-tat situation that just tore the whole tithing idea apart. Because again, tithing is a picture of Jesus. What did God do? He gave his most valuable possession, his own son, to us freely. And it was perfect, and it was the best. And Jesus fulfilled all of that. So now, because we live in the new covenant, which he ushered in, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us when we're his children, the Holy Spirit, of course, is going to motivate us to give, not to pay 10%.
Right.
He may motivate you to give 80%. That's between you and God. We just have this awesome privilege of responding to an internal motivation instead of an external requirement about supporting ministry, supporting the giving of this gospel message to help people who are in need. You know, if we would just answer the call, so to speak, how much of the government money that has to be paid out would be irrelevant? It wouldn't be needed because people would be cared for.
But, well, it's what we talked about at the top of the hour. We've been called to freedom.
Yes.
And this freedom really conveys this idea of generosity. We're generous in our love toward others. We're generous in our giving. And we're free to do that. And it's prompted by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. That's why Paul calls it the grace of giving in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9.
Yeah.
But as far as you're concerned, Kobe, don't worry about the tithing thing. You've just come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Let God sink your roots deep into Jesus so that you know that your sins have been forgiven. You know that you've been given a new identity, that you're a child of God. You know that you have been changed from the inside out, that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. So that's what's important as far as God is concerned for your life, that you really get a firm foundation under your feet. So if you're asking the question, do I have to tithe to get to heaven, then the full scope, the full weight of Christ's death hasn't really hit you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to just rest in the fact that Christ has done all the work, that his blood has taken away your sins, and he has come to live inside of you. And his presence is rest for your soul. His presence in you means that you have been made right in his sight. His presence in you is also power for the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So rest for the soul, that's what you need right now. You're kind of being tossed to and fro by all kinds of different teaching. You need to just rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Kobe, I would like for you, if you're listening to this, to send me an email, bob@basicgospel.net. We want to send you some resources that will help you get grounded in the faith. But also for other listeners, we know that this question about tithing, about giving, is on a lot of people's minds. As I said, it is the most watched video that we have on our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. So two things. If you haven't subscribed to our Basic Gospel YouTube channel, go do that right now. And every week we're going to send out a new video that has a question that's important to people, and we're going to give a short biblical answer to that. So it's something that can be an encouragement to you, something that you could share as well. Also, we have written this great little booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way, and it examines all the passages in the Old Testament about tithing, And when you look at all of those, you realize that it wasn't just one tithe. There was three tithes.
Yeah.
So it ended up being about, quote, 23% of your crops and those sort of things that you were to give on an annual basis. But all that changed when Jesus Christ ushered in a new covenant. Now we get to participate in the grace of giving. So we look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, look at the attitudes. God loves a cheerful giver, and there's only one way to be a cheerful giver, and that's not to do it under obligation.
Correct.
That's to do it under freedom. And you've been called to that freedom. So we want you to have this booklet. It's called Giving the New Covenant Way. It's yours just for asking. So you can call right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Ask Michelle to send you Giving the New Covenant Way, or you can order it online by going to basicgospel.net/giving, basicgospel.net/giving. There is a picture of the booklet and a request form for you to fill out, and we will get this on its way. This is a very important resource. It's yours, free for the asking.
One more thing for Kobe. If you will rest in Christ and allow him to do what only he can do, he will teach you how to manage your money.
Absolutely.
He absolutely will do that. You're in debt now. Yeah, you need to get out of debt. The Spirit can teach you how to do that.
Well, it is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And wow, what a program so far. This tithing issue really ties up so many people. And
yeah, it does.
Add clarity
it
to it.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows how connected to money we are.
We are.
It's important. And once we really understand who we are in Christ, we can kind of let go.
Yeah.
And see money from God's perspective, and boy, that changes everything for
us.
Well, let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Clay.
Hey, Bob and Richard. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, fine. Hey, first of all, I ordered Andrew's book, Twisted Scriptures. It's supposed to be here Saturday. We can't wait. But I'm more excited about that Thursday video. I can't hardly wait for each Thursday. Jeannie and I both watch it, and I encourage anybody to subscribe to that because it's just very good. Like today, the one on prayer, it's
yes.
just really, really insightful. And I just want to tell you how much that we appreciate y'all putting that out every Thursday. It's a big part of our week now.
Well, thanks, Clay. We appreciate that. We love doing it. That's
fun.
Really one of the highlights of the week for us. So we appreciate that it's making a difference.
Well, what I wanted to say is when I was born again, I wasn't resting in Christ. It took me 10 years before I finally entered into his Sabbath day rest. Okay. And when I did, it completely changed prayer for me. Before, I would force prayer. I would make times. It was almost like a kneel beside the bed at certain times and stuff and try to block out stuff. It was kind of laborious. And I'm not even sure I heard God a lot. But now, to me, it's like me, Richard, and you, Bob, going on a road trip, okay? Well, we're all in the car. We talk a little. We pause a little. It's an ongoing conversation. You know, I'm just not always rattling. Sometimes I'm listening to you. Something nothing's saying. But in this Sabbath day rest, this praying without ceasing was a hard thing for me to begin with because I tried to legalize it. But now it's praying without ceasing is the easiest thing that that I've ever done in my relationship with God. It's just an ongoing conversation with him, listening and talking and not necessarily assuming a position, you can, or a time, you can, but mine's just continually. I just wanted to hear you comment on that, Bob.
Well, Clay, I think you've nailed it
because it
really hits the core of what Christianity is all about, and that's a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So Christ is in us. He's with us every step of the way. And we have this wonderful privilege of talking with him. He's given us his life. And boy, we just can talk with him just about anything and everything. And it's a wonderful journey. It's a wonderful faith relationship that we have. And prayer is a part of the expression of our faith and trust in him. We talk to him. I mean, that's saying, hey, I trust you. I want to bring the desires of my heart to you. I want to bring those things that are of concern to me to you. Why? Because I trust you. Why do I trust you? Because I know you love me and you care for me and you've saved me and you've come to live inside of me. So it's all just a part of this great relationship that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And like you said, it becomes a natural extension of who we are. It's like breathing. I think C.S. Lewis said something like that. It's simply, what is prayer? It's breathing in, it's breathing out. It's just what we do as believers in Christ Jesus. So
I love the road trip metaphor, though.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Really
yeah.
good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, we don't have to, every time I get through talking to you, say in Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen. I mean, I can. I'm not getting legalistic either way about it. But it's just like you said, it's like breathing. And I encourage everybody to listen to that video today. Why should we pray? If God is omnipotent and knows everything, why should we pray? Well, watch that video today on YouTube and you'll know why.
Yeah, well, thanks, Clay. Thanks for the plug. We sure appreciate it and glad to hear from you today. Great question, great conversation.
You know, to me, when we say in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer, you know, that's perfectly appropriate. But to me, it's kind of like reminding God the Father that we're in Jesus. So go ahead and answer my prayer.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Sincerely.
Yeah.
Sincerely. Yeah. Well, we have this question from one of our YouTube viewers. He said, my best friend over 30 years is Muslim and depends very much on his faith. I know God wants me to talk to him about Jesus, but I don't want to offend him. Where do I start? Well, I think that's a great question,
yeah.
And we're all going to find ourselves in this sort of situation at some point in life, maybe a Muslim neighbor, maybe somebody that we work with, and we want to have that conversation. It's kind of scary. How do we get into it? How do we broach the subject? How do we introduce somebody to Jesus? Well, I don't think we have to worry about offending. They talk about Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus is mentioned in the Quran. They have some erroneous beliefs about Jesus, like they don't believe that he actually died on a cross. So they have some erroneous beliefs. So you can just start the conversation right there. I know you talk about Jesus. I know you have an understanding of Jesus. Let's talk about him because he's my Messiah. I believe him to be Lord and God and my Savior. Have you ever seen the Christian claims about Jesus Christ? And he's not going to be offended by that. He's going to be glad that you have some convictions about what you believe and are willing to talk about those convictions with him. So don't be afraid just to broach the subject and say, hey, I've really want to hear your thoughts, and I really want to tell you what I believe about Jesus Christ. And I think it will be a great discussion, and it will open a door to an ongoing dialogue. And maybe in the course of that, you can motivate him to take a closer look at the evidence concerning Jesus Christ. You say he didn't die on a cross. Well, here's what our scriptures say. And you say therefore he wasn't raised from the dead. Well, here's what our scriptures say. And as he gets into it, then the evidence may get so overwhelming that he says, hey, he is just who he said he claimed to be, the way, the truth, and the life.
Indeed. Good stuff, Bob. Thank you, and Richard. Well, friends, as my brothers have so clearly stated, it is vital to countless others for Basic Gospel to be here every day, not just where we currently broadcast, but to locations everywhere, places that we don't usually go and usually don't hear of the grace of Jesus Christ. And to do that, Basic Gospel needs your prayers and your financial support. So we ask you to help us get the message out, the message of the New Covenant, to as many people as possible by every medium available. Please help with your gift today if you can. Click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we're going to send you a copy of Richard's powerful story, What's It Worth? Remember, too, that our listener line is always open for you. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail. The number 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for part two of The Power of Eight on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.